And welcome back to another episode of The Book Stop. I'm your host, Jen, and I'm very excited to talk about today's episode. But before we begin, there will be spoilers as we talk about major events that unfold within the story. In addition, each episode will have a list of trigger warnings in the description. Be sure to follow the podcast on Instagram at The Book Stop Podcast and show your support on Patreon for early access to episodes and other additional content. And welcome back to another episode of The Book Stop. Happy Pride Month.
Yes, it's June.
It's been a nice June. It's been not too hot, not too cold.
Has it rained at all?
Yeah. But anyways, we're here to talk about a book, I think. Who do we got here today?
It's Luciano again.
Again?
After a long hiatus.
Yeah, you were on December of last year, I think. What book did you bring for us to talk about?
Four of them.
Oh my gosh.
Volume 1 through 4 of the Heartstopper series.
By
Alice Oseman.
Yes. I want to put a disclaimer here that we are going to talk about all four books of the Heartstopper series. If you're here after watching the show stops after book 2. And then when it comes out in August, it's going to pick up on book 3. We're going to talk about the whole series. So if you don't want any spoilers for the show, then don't listen to this episode until the series comes out. If you have read the series and want to listen, we're going to hop right into it. We're going to play a little game.
Okay.
Are you excited? Because it didn't sound like you were excited.
You know how I feel about these games. It makes it feel like I never read the books.
You are going to summarize this book in 30 seconds. So you may begin whenever you're ready.
All right. Charlie Spring is a teenager. He's outed by his friend accidentally. He ends up falling in love with a guy named Nick that he thought was straight for a hot second. Nick thought he was straight too. Later on, they become fast friends, turn into more of a relationship with each other, and then they go to Paris, and then then they have a few little mental health issues together that they have to go through. Nick has to deal with his annoying brother and his annoying dad.
All right, I'm gonna summarize it really quick for anybody who hasn't heard of this book nor the series on Netflix. So the past year hasn't been easy for Charlie Spring, the high-strung, overthinking year 10 student who has recently been outed in an all-boys grammar school. A cheerful, soft-hearted year 11 rugby player, Nick Nelson, has never had the opportunity to talk to him. But, by a chance of fate, they are seated next to each other and they quickly become friends. Before long, Charlie is falling head over heels for Nick, even though he doesn't think he stands a chance. But love works in mysterious ways, and sometimes good things are waiting just around the corner. Together, they learn about one another as they fall head over heels for each other. Their relationship follows first kisses to first loves. When Charlie's world becomes too overwhelming, Nick tries to be strong enough for the both of them. But they learn that to love someone else means learning to love yourself first. I, for one, am very excited to talk about this. This is probably one of my favorite series. And if you didn't know, the books that we're talking about are actually graphic novels. But these characters, Nick and Charlie, came from a series that Alice had wrote Solitaire first, which is a story about Charlie's sister, Tori. And these characters were like side characters in it. And she just fell in love with them and took them out and made their whole story. So this is a separate story of them.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. I haven't read Solitaire yet, but I do love Tori and I do want to read it. It is on my TBR list, but I haven't gotten to it yet. But yeah. So what in this book is your, or these books, I guess, are your favorite quotes?
Okay. It's not a specific quote. It's more like Nick and Nick's mom talk towards the end of the series. Thus, her entire explanation of how Nick shouldn't take everything on his shoulders because he's only 16. I love all the what she said.
Yeah.
That was really nice. The quote I brought was when they went to Paris, and Mr. Farouk is kind of funny, and someone asked him if pizza was French, and all he said was, no. Just clear, cut, dry humor that Mr. Farouk has. I love it.
Yeah, I do like him. He's so serious, and so like, why am I a teacher?
He's a physics teacher too, so it just fits in perfectly.
Yeah, we love to see it. That's the good thing about this is it goes from very like stressful, intense situations, and then it has those moments of just humor and where it's not so hot and heavy. So my quote is when Tara is talking to Charlie about being out with her girlfriend in Paris. Charlie asks Tara, how did you and Darcy get over the fear of people knowing you're together? Tara says, it took time. Darcy was already out. We'd been dating for a while and most of our friends knew. but other people were starting to guess too. At our school, lesbian was used as an insult all the time. I probably even used it once or twice myself when I was younger. We were terrified. It took me a long time to even feel comfortable calling myself a lesbian. And for a while, we thought it was easier to pretend we were totally platonic. I guess for a while it was easier. But by the time we got more comfortable being us, we reached a point where we knew that whatever people thought or said about us, we just knew who we were. We loved ourselves anyways.
Yeah.
Ah, I just love that. Mm-hmm. It's so good.
Just don't care about the world.
Yeah, don't care about what the other people say. It's your life, your love, and it's all about you two.
Right.
Or three. Or four.
Not judging.
Not judging here. Happy Pride. Yeah, so what are some things that you liked about this book?
I like the relationship between the both of them and how it started, how it progressively changed and isn't overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly Nick likes Charlie.
Yeah.
And then they go into it, you know. It took a while for him to realize, to come to terms with who he was. I like that it's real. There's real emotion in trying to come out to your family, being fearful of coming out to people in general. How real everything is, how everything is a slow progression versus just an overnight conclusion, like mm-hmm. other books that are trying to speed up.
It's kind of like a slow burn.
Mm-hmm. Definitely like the slow burn over the four books. I like that we're not just in one location most of the time. Most of the books deal with being at school or at one of their houses, but we also get to go to Paris for a little bit. We go to the beach, which is one of my favorite scenes.
Mm-hmm. I like that even though we are in their houses or at school, we get to see different locations within those places.
Right.
So, like, you get to see Charlie's room a lot, but you also get to see, like, the conservatory.
Yeah.
Where they, you know, sit with their little blankets. Right. And it's raining. It's so cute. When they have their dinner, we get to see, like, his kitchen. It makes it feel more alive.
Right.
Because you get to see more of their life with it.
I'm sure there's plenty more once you start going through your life. So we'll go through yours.
Oh, mine?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I have so many. Okay. I just really love this series, and I forgot how much I loved it, because I read it way back when, like forever ago when it was on Webtoons, and when I was rereading it, I just like fell in love all over again. I was still like just so giddy as I was reading it. So some of the stuff that I really like was, I'm just gonna start from the bottom and work my way down.
All right.
Okay, so I love the communication that they have. There is some miscommunication with, like, Tara at the beginning, but I feel like it builds suspense. I would say that the show, it leaned more into miscommunication with, like, Imogen and stuff,
right.
Where the book, she's not even a character.
Right.
Like, she's not even a flaw in the system, you know? But Charlie and, like, Nick, they communicate so much, and within other characters as well. Mm. I really love that we get other love stories within this.
Mm-hmm.
Tao and Elle and the teachers, their love stories intertwined.
True.
You even get a little bit of Michael in this one, which is Tori's boyfriend later on. And then even Daniel.
Spoiler alert.
Oh, spoiler alert. And even Daniel and what's his name? Led?
Yeah, Led.
And him, you even get a little sprinkle of his relationship as well.
True.
But yeah, I just really love seeing, it's not just focus on Nick and Charlie, because I feel like it would get old after a while. So having other people's secondary characters, it helps flesh out the world.
True.
I loved Nick speaking French and how Charlie was so for it. He was like blown away. He was like, what? Speaking French with his dad on the phone. He was just like, oh my God, I'm falling in love all over again. I mean, this is a big thing on the bookstop, but I love POVs, and we do get POVs within this story. With it being a graphic novel, which we're going to talk about in a second, it's really hard to set, like, a set narrative with Alice going back and forth between, like, seeing a little bit of Nick's side when he's, like, on vacation, and then seeing a lot of it of Charlie's side. It, again, fleshes out the world so much,
right.
And makes the story so much better. I love the shameless plugs that Alice puts her books into this. I have this poster we got from Barnes & Noble of Nick and Charlie reading, and it's literally her book in the cover. But yeah, she has her world fleshed out with even in the world itself. Like, on his bookshelves, you see, you know, her other books. Mm-hmm. In the show, even, you see other books from her series. She's even in it, too, which is awesome. So have you seen it yet?
I have.
Okay, when they're going on their first date, she's sitting on the other side of
them. Oh, really?
In the train.
Oh, that's
cute. It's so cute. I love but yeah, she, I love the shameless plugs. We love to see it.
Right.
I love the innocence that is in this. The, oh my God, the I love you in the shower scene. Okay, they weren't both in the shower. Nick was in the shower and Charlie was outside and was like, he's about to be gone for 3 weeks and I haven't said I love you, but I really want to. Yeah. And I can't face him, so I'm just going to tell him while he's in the shower. And just like getting comfortable with each other. I really love the young adolescents, teenagers in love, and just trying to figure it out. And then my last one is at the end of book three, we get those Google searches where Charlie is saying, how do you say I love you to somebody? And Nick is Googling how to help somebody with an eating disorder.
Right.
And it just sets you up for the vibes of the next book. It just hits you right in the gut because it shows you their mindset of like which each one is at.
Right.
And it's just, oh, I love it so much. So what are some things that you didn't like about the series?
I don't know. There's not really a lot to dislike about the series. I mean, if you're an adult reading this, you have to like go in the mindset of like a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
He's freaking out about saying I love you. They've been dating for about like 3 months at this time or something like that. Maybe a couple more months.
Maybe, I think, I want to say five, but yeah. I could be lying.
You know, and he's trying to say I love you and stuff. And we're over here like, oh, but you're only babies, you know.
Yeah.
But you got to get in the mindset of a 16-year-old where your first love is going to be everything for you.
Especially when you are somebody from like the LGBT community.
Yeah, well, you thought this was never going to happen to you, like he says at one point in the book. And then here you both are. Look over their being 16. It's kind of hard sometimes where you're like, oh, are they just blowing this out of proportion because they're young? Mm-hmm. Later on in the book, is Nick blowing like the eating disorder out of proportion? Because by that point, we haven't really seen evidence to suggest Charlie has an eating disorder. Just because you don't eat that much doesn't mean you have an eating disorder. Mm-hmm. But then later on, it kind of like hits you all at once where all the pieces lie of why he thinks he has an eating disorder at this point.
Charlie didn't realize that he had an eating
disorder. Yeah, exactly, yeah. But there's two things happening at once. He thinking there's an eating disorder, that's why Charlie's depressed. But then it's actually because Charlie's having a hard time trying to say, I love you to Nick before he leaves for 3 weeks.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
it's all like all at once. Yeah, there's not really much I dislike about the books. I thought it was a nice read.
I don't have a lot either. It's more like little things that happen here and there. Mm-hmm. Again, the ages is a big one for me. So Charlie was 14 when they met. And then he was 15 when they went to like Paris. And then Nick is 16. It's hard to get into that mindset when you're reading it as an adult. You're like, okay, you guys are acting a bit much. But also, they're a teenager.
They're teenagers,
so
yeah.
Emotions are heightened and circumstances and consequences are different. So I get why she did it in that, because later on, Nick's gonna graduate and Charlie's gonna be there, not alone, but he's not gonna be there with Nick. She's setting it up later. I just wish they were just like a tiny, I wish they were both 16. I think it would make it a little bit better than Charlie being 14.
14 when they first meet.
Yeah, which makes it even sadder because that means he was 13 when he got aggressively bullied and stuff.
Yeah, and outed.
And outed, yeah. Ben and Harry in this one are a lot worse than they are in the show. Like the show makes them look kind. Like they are just brutal. There was a scene when they go bowling for Charlie's birthday. Again, very specific scenes I didn't love. I don't love that Charlie kind of outs Elle as trans to Nick. This is the first time that they're meeting Elle, quotation marks, meeting Elle, because Elle was trans and went to the all-boys school.
Right.
And now she goes to all the girls' school. Nick's like, oh, isn't that somebody? And Charlie's like, well, it's Elle now. She transitioned. Right. And I'm like, I don't love that he kind of outed her. And I don't love the telling Tao scene when he's like, yeah, so you kind of outed me last year because you're a loudmouth. Not in so many words.
Oh, yeah, but something similar.
Yeah, and Tao's like, oh, I guess I'm just useless and a nobody.
I know, he was dramatic too.
Yeah, so dramatic. And I'm like, I feel like this could have been handled better. Yeah. Like, I get the stress of not wanting to tell Nick and Charlie's relationship to Tao because he doesn't want Nick to get out of the same way he was.
Right.
I don't know. I feel like it was just putting distance between them
for
no reason. But I do love the bus ride back when Nick gets in the seat
and
makes us sit next to each other. I do love that.
Yeah.
So at least it got a twist around.
Yeah, we stand Nick.
But yeah, so that was mostly my dislikes. Yeah. I don't really have a lot. Yeah, so these books are graphic novels, which is super exciting because this is the first time I've ever done a graphic novel on the Bookstop. So I'm very excited to talk about it. Mm-hmm. I love how Alice, and anybody that really does a graphic novel, is able to portray character emotions through like facial expressions.
Yeah.
Because this book doesn't have any inner monologue apart from the journals.
Right.
All of it is communication. All of it is speech.
Dialogue,
yeah. I loved. Because you get to see everything through their expression, which is so hard to do on like a 2D character. Because you can have an actor be there portraying those emotions and you can see it on their face and watch each step as their face moves and contorts to those emotions.
Right.
But when it's on a piece of paper, it's so hard to convey, and she does it so well.
She does do it really well. There are some points where, I don't know if they're talking in their heads or whatever, or where you kind of get lost in your own thoughts, but she conveys that on the page differently by how she outlines the bubble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because some of them have like little dashed lines, and then some of them are just drawn differently, and then you just know that, oh, this is not part of what's going on in real life. This is something else, and then suddenly that bubble bops when the other character snaps him out of it and stuff. I just really like the way she did that. She's a very good artist. What she's done is amazing. She's been able to like convey everybody's facial features right, and everyone has their own specific look. Charlie sometimes gets a little like overly stimulated, overexcited, or whatever. You can see his big eyes, like anime eyes almost, and something that's like, wow, Charlie is so cute.
Yeah.
And some of these drawings that he does. In the beach scene, for example, where Nick goes and takes off his shirt, Charlie just stares. You can just look at his face and you can tell exactly what he's thinking without saying anything at all.
Yeah.
I just love the way she drew all this stuff.
Yeah. And you could have those scenes where Charlie's like narrow-eyed looking at his siblings and you could tell he's annoyed.
Yeah. You know, side eye and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, it's great.
Yeah, it's great. I think she did such a great job with the personalities of each character, as well as their looks, being able to have Darcy, for example. You know she's going to say something completely out of pocket, and able to convey that with just her emotions and her expressions. It's just it's so good. She does such a good job.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good job, Alice. We'll give you this.
Yeah. Yeah, if you don't like to like read long pages like I sometimes don't, her graphic novels are amazing. Because each page is like at most 20 words, probably. You can just get lost in all her different drawings that she does for the entire book.
Yeah.
She did a good job.
Even though it is just, you know, pictures on pages, you get so lost in it.
Yeah.
It's like that phrase where a picture can have 1,000 words. So these books aren't necessarily that long, but you're going to be stuck in just staring at the pages.
Exactly. And then, like, there are moments in the story where she's trying to convey, oh, this is a big scene for whatever the story is. So she dedicates 2 entire pages to just the scene, where she puts in as much detail as she can.
Very, very well done. If you haven't read these, I don't know what you're doing. That's homophobic, actually.
Right.
It's Pride Month. You should be reading these books. So speaking about the books, let's talk about the vibes.
Right.
I would say, personally, between book 1 and 2, and then book 3 and 4, you have a very significant
different
vibe.
Yeah. First of all, the books are longer.
Yes.
And the last
they are chunks.
Chunks, yeah.
Yeah.
Big boys.
Yeah, so we got book 1 and 2 where it's pretty much like them meeting each other, getting together. Book 2 ends right where the show on Netflix ends, where he's telling his mom that he has a boyfriend. Mm-hmm. They're dating now, officially. And then book 3 and 4 is very much more mature, for sure. It's definitely got more difficult conversations, more difficult topics.
Right.
It's like puppy love and then like actual relationship. And I love how she split it apart. So she's actually currently writing the 5th book or the 6th book, and she was gonna put the 5th book all in one. So she was gonna stop with book 5. And she was saying how when she was doing that, she started getting kind of overwhelmed with everything because there's so much still left. And I'm sitting here like, what else is there to talk about? We can't have more. She has the next book coming out in this fall, and she said that she was going to actually split up book 5 into book 6. So there is going to be 6 books in the whole series. It just makes me so nervous because I'm like, what could possibly happen so much that she had to split it apart because she was getting overwhelmed?
She's going to break our hearts, for sure.
I'm nervous, that's for sure. Can we talk about the fact?
Uh-huh.
So Nellie, right?
Yeah.
Is one, the most beautiful dog.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of the budget for the TV went to getting Nellie, because she is so gorgeous. And 3, Wait, I skipped two. Two. This dog is the most trained dog in the whole wide world.
Yeah, she is. Such a good girl. She's a border collie, I think.
I think so, yeah. Yeah,
but she's just a trained actor.
Okay. Honestly.
Because you get through, she's in the scenes sometimes with them both, and then you can see her facial expressions convey the emotion of the scene. Uh-huh. And I'm like, she's so cute. She's so good.
Yeah. Like, she doesn't run away from them. They'll go out to the park or whatever, and then she's not even on a leash half the time.
The beach, yeah.
She doesn't take any food off of your tray. There was a scene where Charlie was eating, and he literally left the plate on the bed next to her. She didn't touch it.
She just looked at it.
And I'm like, this is the most unrealistic thing in this whole book.
Right, right.
It's this dog.
I was waiting for the next scene where the dog is just munching away on a sandwich, but nope.
Yeah.
Not at all.
And then freaking Henry coming in.
Oh my god, the little pug.
Yeah, the little pug. I'm excited to see where he goes.
Like, out of nowhere, this pug comes in. And at first, I'm like, betrayed. I'm like, ugh. What about Nelly?
Yeah.
But then Nelly, and you see scenes with Nelly and Henry together, sleeping together. And I'm like, oh, okay, we're good.
They're good.
We're good.
He's so small.
Such a small little guy.
So, in this one, who would you say is your favorite character?
Nick's mom.
Oh, shoot, okay.
Nick's mom is the most accepting, heartwarming woman in this entire series.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say anything bad, necessarily, to Charlie's mom, because I don't think Charlie's mom is, like, homophobic, per se, but I just feel like she's unsure of how to deal slash raise a gay child, or a gay, like, male child at that. His dad is more relaxed and whatnot. He comes home late one day from Nick's house, and then she's thinking they're up to no good together.
Tomfoolery.
Right, tomfoolery. And then he's embarrassed because they're actually not, and they've talked about it with each other, which goes back to your communication thing from earlier.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about it with each other. They're not going to do anything right now because they're not ready.
Mm-hmm.
She just automatically assumes they're up to no good and then gets in mad and then talks to her husband saying, I try not to say like the wrong thing or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I end up doing it anyways. But Nick's mom, Nick is like dying.
He's not actually dying.
He's dying on the inside.
Yeah.
Trying to figure out how to tell his mom that he's gay or bisexual, actually, because we like to represent this book.
Mm-hmm.
That he's bisexual. He doesn't know how his mom's going to take it. His mom is awesome the entire time.
Yeah.
But then later on, David is Nick's older brother, who is a complete jerk. Makes all these snide comments that he thinks is funny, but it's really not. She goes to his defense. She notices that something's wrong with Nick later on when Charlie has his going through his eating disorder / he doesn't know he has an eating disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Nick doesn't know how to deal with it. He thinks it's all on his shoulders to save Charlie because they're dating and it's all up to him. The last day on vacation scene at the waterfront where she tells him, it's not all up to you. You're 16 years old. That's a lot to put on your shoulders. Just like from day one, she's been nothing but an angel. And that's why she's my favorite character.
Yeah, she's awesome. She could be in it more and I would be okay with that. Mm-hmm.
Definitely, you know. And she's so like, you can see some of the scenes where she's just in a distance approving of everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And how like older she looks. Charlie's mom too, for that matter.
Yeah.
They both look older for them being 16. And Nick's mom just looks like a little grandma. And I'm like,
She's so cute. Yeah, Nick's mom is great. I think the actress that portrays her in the show too is awesome. Mm-hmm. I love her. I hope that in book 5 and 6 that she's in it more. And you even see the end of the last book, their parents are starting to hang out more and like interact more, which I loved. I love seeing both mom and dad interacting with mom and dad, even though the dad wasn't really that important on Nick's side. But
on Nick's side.
Yeah. I have, like, my favorite character, and then I have a special shout-out.
Right.
Special shout-out is definitely to Tori.
Okay.
I really liked her. She just immediately knows when something's up.
Oh, yeah.
And she just, like, shows up out of nowhere.
She has a sixth sense,
for sure. Yeah, she's a really good sister. She helps him, even though she personally is going through a lot of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie even mentions that in his journal entries. She's got stuff going on, but she has Michael there to help.
Mm-hmm.
So I really liked her, but my favorite is Nick. He just cares so deeply, and you can see that in every expression. He cares for not just Charlie, obviously Charlie is top of the list, but he cares about everyone.
Yeah.
Charlie might have fallen first for Nick, but Nick fell harder for Charlie.
Yeah.
I loved him when he was packing the food for him on the trip, and he always is like, do you want to step away?
Yeah.
Do you want to take something for later? He's just so kind-hearted, and I love him. I think he fell into the wrong crowd, especially when the beginning of high school.
Yeah.
I really could see him hanging out with Charlie and his friends his entire, like, mm-hmm. high school career. I don't know if that's a term.
Right.
And my favorite line in the show is when they're at the arcade and he's like, I really wish I could have met you sooner. And I'm like, you guys are teenagers.
Right.
In toddlers
form? Like, sooner when?
It's so funny. Yeah, I really love Nick. And it might have something to do with also Kit Connor. I love him.
Yeah.
The character, Nick. Mm-hmm. That golden retriever boy that everyone falls for. And yeah. he's such a good kid.
Yeah. He doesn't know what to do, but he's trying his hardest. And that's all we can ask for.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's like the jock. There's so many stereotypes with jocks, mm-hmm. you know, because they play rugby. He manages to talk Charlie into doing rugby because Charlie wants to spend more time with him.
Mm-hmm.
So you already have that little like stereotypes in the back of your mind about how Nick's gonna be, but he's the total opposite.
Yeah,
he literally is the total opposite.
Tao is like, you know, he's a rugby lad. Mm-hmm. Where he's gonna call you mate. He's just a straight boy.
Right.
It's like,
no,
that's like a huge thing I want to talk about is how sexuality in itself, it's such a broad thing, and it's not just a label within itself.
Right.
It's not the destination; it's the journey. Quote, like, it's all about finding out who you are. Mm-hmm. And not necessarily finding out what your label is.
Right.
And Nick's journey in this, like, obviously Charlie was already outed, and we already know from the very beginning that he is gay.
Mm-hmm.
I love being able to follow Nick's journey throughout the story of him coming to terms with his sexuality. Because, like, the first time he finds out that he has feelings for Charlie and he acts upon them by kissing him,
mm-hmm.
and you have that scene, oh, I love that scene, when he comes in sopping wet and he's like, I'm having a gay crisis right now. His coming to his conclusion of, like, him being bisexual,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, the Google searches, it's like, who hasn't done that?
Yeah.
It's very special having him as a character to be able to experience it through a different perspective, I guess, than just having, like, you know, Charlie, who's already outed, is gay, and having Nick see from step one what the process is mm-hmm. of, like, coming to terms with it. Right.
Also, can I just do a little side note? Like, it's a generational thing because we grew up, what, mid to late 2000s and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
But just seeing, like, Google search in a book and mm-hmm. have them having cell phones and he sent a message and it said swoosh like mm-hmm. the Apple thing does, it's like, it's different.
Yeah.
You know, it's really different. Like, most of the characters we read growing up are, like, early 2000s where none of that thing was a thing.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. just seeing them have it now, it's like, wait, you gotta get in the mindset of this is now.
Yeah.
Versus, oh, this happened, like, way back when.
Yeah. And you could do, like, the Instagram posts and stuff.
I know.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, it adds that, like, modern twist to it. I feel like that fear of it getting online too, all it takes is, like, yeah. one picture, and it's out there.
Yeah.
Everybody will know.
Right.
At the end of the day, it's like, I really don't want to talk about the show a lot, but there's a scene where she posts a picture of her and Darcy, and people are like, oh, you're a lesbian? You were much prettier as a straight girl, or whatever it was. And it shows pressure of mm-hmm. having your secrets and your history and everything out in the open for everybody.
It's so easy now.
Especially now, yeah. So, like, when you come out, you're not just coming out to the person you're talking to. You could come out to somebody walking by. That's how Charlie got outed.
Yeah.
So having that, like, you can't share it with anybody unless you want to share it with everybody.
Right.
Feeling.
You know.
When you're a teenager, especially. And then having that fear of not everyone's going to accept it right away. And even yourself, you're not going to accept it. How Darcy and Tara were, where you have to kind of give it time.
Right.
And you have to be, wait till you're 100% right with it. And you might never ever get there. Nick, coming back to him, he took a while where he was like, I don't think I'm gay because I still like women. So
Right. Maybe
bisexuality, which he didn't even know about.
Right.
And then he had, like, didn't he look up, like, YouTube videos and stuff about being bisexual?
When he first was coming to terms and he wasn't sure what he was, it was Charlie that was like, well, you know, there's bisexuals, right?
Mm-hmm. He's like, you know? What is this?
Right.
Yeah, that's why I think representation matters so much.
You know?
Whether that's in books or media, songs, movies, whatever it is, having that, like I talked about in my last podcast where we're talking about representation, and having that representation, it helps not only the person that's feeling that way, but helps get the knowledge out there
of
like other people, making it more comfortable to talk about, more comfortable to notice. And this book, I think, does really well because, one, everyone in this freaking book is gay.
Right, pretty much, yeah.
Literally down to the teachers, like, they're all gay. Oh my god, Mrs. Singh? Ah! Sorry, I just remembered her wife. I love it. No, everyone's gay, and I love it. And I'm not necessarily saying, like, everyone needs to be gay.
Right, right.
But it's nice having those characters.
You know, that was one of my gripes, that I was, like, going through this books, and I was like, damn, dang, everybody's gay.
Autocorrect.
Dang, everybody's gay in this book, you know? But then you start thinking about it, and I was like, well, your friend group, you're gonna go around and gravitate around other people that are just like you. Mm-hmm. You know, so obviously everyone in their friend group, not that everyone is, but could be gay or whatever, some part of the spectrum. Yeah, the alphabet. But then just having the teachers in there, you just start thinking like, well, growing up, I didn't see a lot of like gay people or whatnot, you know, mm-hmm. but it doesn't mean that they didn't exist.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, they're definitely out there. I mean, the two teachers that end up dating each other, they didn't come to terms. And he's probably in their 30s or 40s.
Yeah.
You know, both of them. And they're starting to date each other and come out and stuff like that. When I was in high school, obviously I knew about what gay and lesbians were, but it wasn't until we got into our little group together in high school mm-hmm. where I realized exactly how expansive the actual alphabet is, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
And just made me realize that it's not just A or B. It's also all the way through Z.
Yeah, having, again, that representation of, like you had just said, not knowing that the rest of the alphabet exists, but having just a spark of it, it's important mm-hmm. because it sparks an idea of, oh, this character is X, Y, and Z. Mm-hmm. Let me learn more about it.
Right.
So it's just great. And I'm glad that this book and the series works so well with trying to get people to think outside the box, especially with people that are on, like, mm-hmm. LGBT spectrum. Of understanding things aren't always easy. It's not just like one day you wake up and you're like, I'm gay. Like Charlie says, I didn't just wake up and say, oh, I'm gay. It's a process and it's a journey and it's a lifetime uphill battle sometimes. Right. Like it's something that you have to come to terms with yourself. Again, having that representation just helps a lot.
True that. True that.
Preach. Happy Pride.
Hey, happy Pride.
Just going to take a second here to shout out the Patreon subscribers.
Nick W., Patrick C., Tim, Ashley, Janeth P., and Lulu.
What are you doing?
Bree, Shelby K., Emily, Mama P., Anastasia, and Jack. Thank you, subscribers. Keep subscribing.
You're giving me an aneurysm for reading it that way. And only saying half of the last letter of their names.
Half the last letter?
I'm never letting you do that again. Yeah, thank you guys so much for support. You know, I'm sorry to stop myself. As you were reading that list, I think we were missing a couple of names. At least one.
There's a lot of people listening right now that need to subscribe. So subscribe now.
Moving on. There's a lot of people talking that need to subscribe now.
Anyways.
Thank you so much for supporting the podcast. It means the world to me. I love doing this. And I'm glad that, you know, a couple people are listening to it. It's pretty lit, I would say.
A couple?
Couple. If you guys want to be part of the Patreon shout out, head over to Patreon and subscribe today. So let's say you're, for some reason, spending a week in France. Okay. Who would be your three roomies? Like, who are you sharing a hotel room with?
Between these people?
Between the people in the book, yeah. You can't just pick, like, George Washington.
I know.
Harry Styles. No. In the book.
Let's see. I think there was no better group of people than the group of boys that got put together.
But you can only choose three of them.
Right. It's a very good question. It's not Colin. Sigh.
So you would pick David.
Who's David?
Nick's brother.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Nelly. Heck, I'll just do the boys. Charlie and Nick.
Okay, so you're going to share the bed with the dog?
Pretty much, yeah. You know, because I'm not a jerk. I'll let them share the bed.
I thought you said this was in co-ed.
It's not co-ed. They're two boys.
The dog is a girl. Okay.
I guess. Okay, how about yourself then? Who are you shared with?
This is a difficult question. Obviously, I would pick Tori because she would just vibe and we would just read some books, listen to some music, just chill. And then I would pick Elle because she would bring great snacks. And
sure that.
She would paint my nails, we'll do our hair. It would be like chill. Tori and Elle can share a bed. I'm personally sharing the bed with Nick's mom, okay? I want Nick's mom there because we'll all sit around in our little circle and we'll have sob stories. She'll walk us through every, like, decision we've ever made in our lives. Right. We'll talk about all the regrets that we have.
Right.
She'll be there to be a shoulder to cry on.
Yeah, it's easier with the girls because what do the boys have to offer to the table? Okay, you just told me she's going to bring snacks. You're going to share stories, but what do the boys have to offer, you know? Nick and Charlie are just going to be making out with each other in the background.
You picked them.
Aled barely talks, so I'm not sure how to talk to him.
What about Oliver?
Oliver? I guess. I'll bring the two dogs and then he can have a great time.
I'm going to go on a tangent here while you're looking at that. Okay. Oliver, I'm upset, angry, and furious that they didn't put him in the show. They honestly. He's not in it.
Really?
Yeah.
I can't remember that.
Oliver is Charlie's brother.
Yeah, the younger brother.
Yeah, younger brother. He's like 7, I don't know, 12, okay. I don't know, somewhere around there. And he's not in it. And he is such a vital part of the story.
He really is.
My God. When Oliver runs downstairs because Charlie's like, oh, I want to tell Nick I love him.
Right.
And Oliver runs downstairs like, Nick, Charlie wants to tell you something. And then he like snatches him. Oh, I love that scene.
It's so nice. Like, but when he's in it, he's in it.
Yeah.
Okay. Like he provides a lot of, I don't want to say comedic relief because it's really not.
But breaks more the tension.
Like, yeah, like tension reliever. First of all, Charlie, Tori, and Oliver have a great sibling relationship.
Yes.
You know, they care about each other. They hug each other. You know, they do all the stuff that siblings are supposed to do.
Yeah, that siblings don't do.
Right. Which I absolutely adore.
Yeah.
Maybe in the new season, they'll be like, oh, here he is.
Oh, here he is. We used all the budget in the first season for the dog, and now we have enough for the child.
I like what they were like, well, we can only do Oliver or Nelly.
They chose Nelly. So are they even going to have Henry? Are they going to put Henry before they put freaking Oliver in?
Oh my God. Henry's not even vital.
All right, let's keep going. Okay, I actually want to talk about something.
All right.
Okay, so you remember James?
James. Who's James?
James is when they play Truth and Dare. And
Darcy, that poor kid.
Okay, but why was he so eager to kiss?
Eager and
he
then was like kind of disappointed.
Yeah, dude, he was.
Is this
so
foreshadowing for the next couple books? You know, is James gonna come back full force?
When we come in, I have a missed opportunity about James.
Okay.
We'll talk about it in a second. But yeah, he was way too eager, and then he was like, "No, I didn't want to kiss you, anyways, Charlie." But then he's like in the background, like somber music playing. He's sad.
So to preface this, they're in Paris, and it's the last day, so they have this little party all in the same hotel room. The girls somehow had the bigger room.
Mm-hmm.
They look like a palace with a balcony and everything.
Mm-hmm.
They decided to play. They said Truth or Dare, but then they started spinning the bottle. So I'm like, wait a second.
This is a different kind of Truth or
Dare.
Right.
So then it lands on Charlie, and Charlie says Dare, and then you have to kiss one of the boys, and it ends up being James. And James is like, oh, it's okay. We don't have to kiss. It's just awkward.
Does the Debbie Ryan. You don't have to kiss.
It was like awkward and...
Because Nick was like right there and you could see on his expression that he didn't want Charlie
to
kiss him.
No, God no.
So he's like, no, I won't do it.
Right. Because either James is really confident with his sexuality where he was okay with kissing another guy or there's something more.
There's definitely something more. Yeah. Okay. So who would you say in this series is your favorite relationship?
Going back to the sibling thing. I really love Tori and Charlie's relationship. There isn't a lot because Tori doesn't say a lot per se. But just what she does speaks volumes. From really caring about Charlie, trying to make sure that she's involved in his life, to when they had this like dinner thing with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And David was going off with some friend about Charlie.
Oh, on the phone?
Yeah, and then she kicks the phone out of his hand.
Yeah.
And then says, I'll end you if you don't stop and stuff.
Yeah, she's like, you're a disgusting little man.
Yeah, like exactly. It's like, I'll end you. And I was like, yes, queen.
She's very protective.
Exactly, yeah. I just love the relationship. Because she's not forcing her way into Charlie's personal life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but she's making sure that he's aware that she's there, whether he knows it or not. I just love the relationship a lot. I mean, all these little relationships I absolutely adore. Mr. Farouk, Mr. Ajay. Their relationship is like just a little side thing, mm-hmm. side note, you know, but she gives us like things, mini comics.
They're all their first,
mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, that's so cute.
It's so cute.
You know, but I would say Tori and Charlie's is probably one of my favorites.
This, I will say, has been the hardest decision I've made on the bookstop in the past 3 years I've been doing this. Okay. The hardest decision. I could not choose. I love the Paris Squad. Yeah. I loved the Spring Siblings. Yep. I loved Nick and Charlie. Yep. I loved the teachers. Mm-hmm. I love just everyone with one another. It's just so authentic.
Yeah,
it feels like a friend group. Brother and sister. Everything just feels like it's supposed to feel. Right. And I just love it. Yeah, I honestly could not choose. I loved everybody together. Yeah. Like, as bad as it sounds, even like David and Nick, having that distant relationship of Stefan and Nick, like the distant relationship of that, like all of it is just so perfectly blended, and it's just, it works so well. I honestly could not choose a favorite. Mm. I love all of them. But my favorite's obviously Nick's mom and Nashia. Right, right. Nick's mom and me. Right. No, I loved all of them so, so much. They are all so authentic and genuine, and Alice did a great job putting them all together.
Definitely.
There's a scene in the third book where Charlie is starting to get like overwhelmed with the fact that he's dating Nick.
Yeah.
And he wants to tell people that matter because he feels like he has to. Mm. Like, he needs to tell his friends that they're dating, but he doesn't feel comfortable enough because Nick still doesn't know really what he is. Aled, I'm so sorry if I'm saying his name wrong. He's telling him, you don't need to tell everybody. Mm-hmm. Coming out is not a duty that you have to do. It's mm-hmm. not a requirement.
Right.
It's not a requirement for your friends or your family. If you don't want to come out to somebody, you don't have to.
Right.
Once they know, they know. Mm-hmm. And you can't take that back. He says, this whole deal with you and Nick being out to people, I think you need to stop worried about somebody else's feelings. I know Tal is your best friend, and if you don't think it's a good time to tell him right now, you don't have to tell him. Mm-hmm. This is your first time where you get control over it. You're not being outed right now. It's just you and Nick right now in this bubble. So you don't need to burst it mm-hmm. if you don't want to. I just really loved that spark of wisdom you get from this, like, 15-year-old boy.
I know.
We love to see it.
It's crazy, right?
But I just loved that mention of, if it's your own thing, if you want to tell people, more power to you. But if you don't feel bad about it.
No, you don't owe the world anything.
Exactly. It's your own personal life, and if you don't want to come out, then don't feel forced to. Mm-hmm. If you want to come out and celebrate it, go right ahead. If you want to stay closeted and celebrate it, go right ahead. Like, it's your own thing, and it's no one else's business.
Right. I feel like he's very wise.
I know. It's all the books that he reads.
You know, Aled is very wise. He doesn't say much, but we love him just the same.
Yeah.
You know, he's an important part of this friend group.
Yeah, and I love that we get to learn a bit about his love.
Yeah, at the end, it was like 2 seconds, maybe two words.
Very quick.
Very quick. And he's like, who's such and such? And Aled's like, oh, no one.
And then Charlie's like, well, what's his name at least?
Right.
Daniel.
Okay, sorry. You know, exactly. And I'm hoping that's where the books lead, a little bit into more Aled's life here.
Yeah, definitely. Because
I want to know more about him. For sure. But that just shows you, like, the different personalities that Alice gave all these boys. Not every, like, 15-year-old boy, or 17-year-old boy, for that matter, is going to be like Charlie or Nick,
mm-hmm.
you know, where they have no idea what they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
there are some, like, people that are more emotionally intelligent than others are. And I absolutely love that she included at least one character that was. I feel like Tori is, too, but she's more, like, through experience than just being emotionally aware. But now I really want to know what Alice backstory is.
I know. Because... I hope she explores it in the last books.
Yeah. Just because he's your best friend or whatever doesn't mean that you are obligated to tell him. And once you tell him, he was upset and whatnot, which was expected. So he was going to get upset about it. But, like, because of his mouth, basically, he got outed. So what was he going to do? You know, he was afraid he was going to out Nick. He didn't want that from Nick because of what Charlie went through. I feel like Nick has a little bit more of an advantage because all his friends are rugby players and whatnot. And maybe he wouldn't get as bullied because he has all these friends. But, like, still, Charlie just didn't want Nick to go through what he went through.
It's still hard.
Yeah, it still is hard. Very hard.
Charlie was more afraid of keeping the secret than telling Tao what was going on. Yeah. It wasn't the fact that he wanted to be honest. It was that he was afraid that it would have, one, gotten out. And like in the show, when Tao finds out, I think it was more of him keeping that secret than really him finding out about it.
Right.
Because he didn't want, like, obviously you want to be honest with the people that you trust, but there's not a requirement of how honest you need to be. Yeah. If you don't feel comfortable doing something and you don't feel comfortable sharing something about your personal life, that's why it's called a personal life. You don't need to.
Right.
And if you're on the other spectrum where you're getting mad about somebody that, one, let's say, for example, not coming out to you, then that's you being pitiful and stop, because it's none of your business.
You need to reevaluate your life decisions.
Yeah. They're just thinking of the outcomes of what happens with that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Don't be a jerk.
Right, basically.
So a huge plot line, I guess, for the last two books, and I think it's going to continue on in the last 5 and 6, is Charlie's eating disorder. We touched on it. We're not going to go in super detail about it, but I really will say that Alice did a good job putting it in there.
Very slow,
very strategic.
It really was.
I liked how she portrayed Charlie's mindset on it, with him not thinking his parents are going to believe him, mm-hmm. how it hinders their relationship a little bit, but also having that part where he does go to therapy and goes to the hospital to want to get better.
Right.
And showing that communication, I guess, between his parents and Nick, and then with Nick's mom being like, you were just a teenager, you need to talk to an adult about this.
Exactly.
Because obviously you want to go to your friends before you go to any adult, because your friends are gonna understand what you're going through, but they don't know.
They can just say, we'll be here for you.
And I'm glad that we get like the jumps.
That was unexpected.
Yeah,
the little time jump.
Yeah. Especially because it was like in the middle of the book, too. I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, I enjoyed that she didn't go in like hyper detail about it.
No.
She left it very secret, I guess, for Charlie. Mm-hmm. She goes into like a little bit of detail of like what happened after, but she didn't go into like hyper detail, which I think is a good way to show how Charlie's kind of going through it alone, but also he has his like family and friends there.
Right.
I really liked how she did that.
I guess there's a lot of tropes out there, and one of the tropes that I always see gay people or LGBT people is they're not just dealing with being LGBT, but also some kind of mental health issue. And for him, it's not really, well, maybe a little tinge of depression here. But not really just that, but also, like, eating disorder. Mm-hmm. So here I thought that as soon as they're, like, picking up on it more, like at the beach, he didn't want to take his shirt off. Or Nick just watching Charlie not eat. Charlie's, like, thinking about something else, so he's not eating. So Nick thinks it's an eating disorder and stuff, which ends up being. But then they skip it 5 months. Because I thought the next, like, 30 pages were going to be about going through everything. Going through, like, Nick continuously seeing all the red flags and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But no, she skipped it 5 months. Nick's writing in his journal. And then they go back in time, just snippets of what's been going on the last 5 months and leading up to where they are now.
Yeah.
I just think that's amazing, the way she did that. Because she could have easily just been like, oh, it's 5 months later, and here it is, and you just have to pick up the pieces as they go through. But no, she actually went back and was able to tell the entire story of what happened the last 5 months, which is great. Because I did not like that. The synopsis of what happened during those 5 months. Between them fighting.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they were fighting with each other. Or Charlie becoming more emotional. Mm-hmm. Charlie just, like, knowing he has a problem, but not being able to help himself. And then it all culminates into, well, it looks like we have to send you away, Charlie. Like, I was like, huh?
Yeah. I do enjoy that we get to see both perspectives. We get to see Charlie while he's in the hospital and his family coming and him trying to get better. And then we get to see Nick, who feels so useless being able to not do anything.
Alone, useless.
But know that he did the right decision by helping Charlie.
Definitely.
And you get to see those snippet on Nick's side where he, you know, is connecting more with his friends that he hasn't talked to in months, and connecting more with the Paris squad and stuff. Yeah, where you're talking about where they're fighting. I think that was a great thing to add in because it's not all sunshine and rainbows in their relationship. They argue as well. And there's a little novella about Nick and Charlie, literally titled Nick and Charlie.
Yeah, I saw that.
Where Nick is in uni, and they have a big fight about that. Yeah, it's a huge time jump.
What?
Yeah. Where, yeah, they're in uni and he goes away for uni and they fight about being long distance and stuff. I love that you get to see those, like, hardships in their relationship. And it's not all just, again, sunshine and rainbows. Yeah. It's not all joy. It's there's also that hard stuff that they have to deal with, the deeper conversations. The jump between book one and two to three and four.
Crazy.
It's crazy.
It's night and day.
It is, honestly. Literally. Yeah, it's good. You gotta read the books.
Yeah.
You gotta.
I love also how Alice makes sure that the reader's aware that she knows that just because Charlie went away, that it's not all cured. Put it in, like, I don't know how long he was gone, but it's like, this is from Nick's perspective.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just because Charlie went away for I don't know how long doesn't mean he's cured. It's not cured.
Yeah.
You know, he still has his problems afterwards. He's just trying to, like, not tiptoe around him, but trying to get him back to a good place. I like that she added that little tidbit in.
Just because he goes somewhere and he's going to therapy and he seems like he's doing better, there are those days where he's going to have regressions.
Right.
And it's going to be a lifetime battle. Like, he's going to have to fight this the rest of his life, mm-hmm. because it is something that's right. happened to him. And yeah, she puts those in there as well. And it's just like, I don't know, she does a really good job. Like, you can tell that she put a lot of research into it. And yeah, we love to see it.
Yep.
The good research.
She's done her homework.
Yeah, yeah. What would you say in the series is your favorite scene?
There's a couple of favorite scenes. I love the beach scene where they're all just trying to have fun,
mm-hmm.
put away all their stresses and whatnot. I adore the scene between Nick and his mom, mm-hmm. at the last day of his vacation, where she just tells him to stop putting it all on his shoulders,
mm-hmm.
give him that nice, nice wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
That General Iroh type wisdom right on her.
Don't talk about Iroh. I don't
cry. I love those two scenes a lot. To pick between both of them, though, I'll probably like the beach scene a little more.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, take me to a beach. I love it.
You can't swim.
But, like, just seeing them all just having fun with each other. Obviously, there's a few little conflicts that happen that they were able to resolve. But, like, just them having fun together, not having to worry about all the stuff they're worrying about outside the beach, like, it's just great.
It's like a bittersweet moment, too, because that's before everything starts to happen.
Yeah.
First call where he's like, I think you have an eating disorder. And the top of the hill where it's all kind of fall down. So it's like a little bit of like a last moment before the chaos happens, but it is a good moment. You also get a lot of background of Elle and Darcy and stuff.
Yeah, Darcy, Tao, and
Sarah.
Yeah. She just puts so much substance into that.
She's feeding us.
I know.
Okay.
You know, she gave me a lot during the beach scene.
I gotta digest.
And it was great. It was so great. Not just their sexuality,
mm-hmm.
but their culture too. Elle brings in the Egyptian food from her mom. Charlie's family's from Spain. Nick's family's from France.
Yeah.
I didn't realize England or wherever they're from is so diverse.
It is nice.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite scene.
Yeah.
Thanks for asking.
Okay.
I really liked the scene where he comes out to his dad at the dinner. It's so impactful.
Oh my God.
He's like, I'm gay. Charlie's my boyfriend. Because, you know, David was sitting there trying to out him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm just going to do it because I don't want David to do it. And just don't be a David, okay?
Right. Don't be a
like,
David.
He was awful. Like, I will say he did add something to the story in the sense of, like, he built that tension. But mm-hmm. also, he's garbage.
Right.
I hated him.
Yeah, definitely.
But my favorite scene is the scene. Let me set it for you.
All
right. Let me set the scene for you.
Go ahead.
After the beach,
okay.
Charlie is laying in Nick's bed, eating his little sandwich, and he's looking at the memories on the wall.
How cute was he eating that sandwich?
I know, right?
It was so cute.
Nellie was there, vibing. Nick was in the shower, and he's seeing these moments, and I forget who said it, but somebody said, why are you worried to say I love you to him? He's so in love with you.
Mm-hmm.
It's very plain.
Yeah.
And he's looking at these memories of Charlie and Nick on Nick's wall.
Mm-hmm.
He's looking at these pictures and he's reliving the memories on the page. And I loved it so much that we had, like, when they were baking and then it showed a short scene of them baking. Mm-hmm. Or when they were outside in the snow and it showed a short scene of them in the snow.
Right.
Like, it was set up so well. And then you just see this amazement fall on his face of he recognizes that Nick is in love with him as much as he's in love with Nick.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's just a chef's kiss. It was so well done. And then he runs out and he's like, I have to go. My mom says I have to go home, but I love you so much. And then he runs out the door. And then Nick's like, ah!
Wait a second.
Oh, God. It's so good.
Almost runs out the door naked, too.
Yeah, he's like, I need clothes.
I thought he was going to run out in the towel, to be honest. Is that also the scene where he gives him his birthday present? Like, right before that?
No.
That's a different one?
With the picture?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was his birthday?
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, where they were sitting at the table and they pull up the...
But I also like that scene where he's like, actually, here are all your jumpers, which I'm assuming is the hoodies.
Oh, Christmas. That was Christmas.
Christmas, okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, when he pulls back his jumpers and he's like, where are these? He's like, they don't smell like you anymore. I don't want them.
But then he's like, I got your real present at the bottom. And then he said something cute like...
Oh,
like,
yeah, you gave me a picture when we were cold
out. Yeah, yeah.
One in the snow, one in the sun.
Going back to like the dinner scene. Mm-hmm. How good the author portrayed the awkwardness of what happened after. Yeah. Like, you could see, but Charlie's dad playing with Nellie, the side of the table. Oliver comes up and is like, why are they yelling? And she's like, oh, they're just having a conversation, darling. You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, well, you can picture yourself in that thing. If you weren't part of the ruckus, how awkward that dinner conversation would have been. Yeah. I'm like, those are little tidbits I absolutely love. Go into a little bit more detail just to give me a little. Because when they first came into the house and Oliver was so excited to see the dogs, the first thing I wanted to find when I turned the page was him playing with the dogs. And that's exactly what happened.
The continuity is also really nice. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, we love to see it.
All right, let's play your game.
All right. So the game I have is, so at the back of the book, we have kind of like yearbook pictures. Under it, it has like their name, their age, and it also has a fun fact.
Oh, God.
So I'm going to give you a fun fact.
Oh,
and then
okay.
You just tell me who it is.
All right.
Let's start easy.
All right, okay.
Just because I think you need it.
All right.
I hate, in parentheses, almost everyone.
Tori?
Yeah. I love making clothes.
Sounds like Darcy?
No.
My clothes?
Clothes.
Okay. Ellie?
Ellie.
Ellie. Yeah. Okay.
I once ate a whole jar of mustard as a dare.
Why do I see Allah doing this? But no, probably Tao?
Mm-mm.
Really?
It's Darcy.
Darcy?
She's the crazy one.
I guess.
Yeah. I want to make a podcast.
Oh, I think I saw this one, actually. Oh, Tao.
Mm-mm.
What? I thought you wanted to make a podcast.
Aled.
Oh, his podcast would be cute.
He should come on this podcast.
Right?
I
wonder what about, though.
Probably books. Honestly, all he does is read. Speaking of reading, this person's fun fact is I like to read.
Oh, Charlie.
Yeah.
I remember that because when they were all getting the gift basket together, Sarah was like, oh, I'm going to put books in there because he told me he likes to read. You know? And I thought about that. I'm like, does he like to read?
I was about to say, does he read at any point
right,
in the
like,
series?
Does he read at all? And then at the end, it says, in one of the things, like what you just read, it says he likes to read. I was like, but do you?
Yeah. When does he ever read a book?
Right. Journals and stuff, but I haven't seen him read a book.
Yeah, I mean, he has books in his room. So
right, right.
That.
But, okay.
I like to dance, or I love to dance, especially ballet.
Especially ballet. Who's the dancer? Sarah?
Tara. Tara likes to dance, apparently. Really? I've never seen her dance.
That's what I'm saying. These are like weird things.
Yeah. That's not, I'm just pulling from the book. You can talk to Alice about this. I have a film review blog.
Oh, that's Tao.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that one.
I'm great at baking cakes.
Nick?
I mean, there was the baking scene, but not enough cakes were made.
Yeah, I don't remember just one baking scene, right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think there's just one.
Yeah, I think you got like one right.
No,
maybe two. So what are some things that you would have done differently, would have changed if you were writing this book? Purely our own opinions. Personally, I would have added more Aled and Daniel in there. But obviously he doesn't want that, but we need more of him because he is iconic. So chapter 6 is the scene where he comes back from the hospital.
Yeah.
I really think it should have been a new book because it happens like pretty significantly like in the middle of the book almost.
Mm-hmm.
And it just would have been a good, fresh, clean start. We have the time skip. We're getting our updates. It just felt weird to be in the middle of the book. I just think it would have been a good
cliffhanger.
Good cliffhanger and then start the next one.
Right.
And then I would have loved to see how the boys met, Charlie, Tao, and Aled, how they all met. I want more of them just hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
again, calling back to the show, we see a lot of them hanging out in Charlie's room when they play Monopoly, or they go and hang out. I would like more of just the boys hanging out. And yeah, I would love to see how they have met. Mm-hmm. But maybe we'll get it in the next books.
Yeah, maybe just like a snippet. Yeah. You know, she does her snippets very well.
Yeah, I would love a little snip of how they met.
Yeah.
What about you?
I feel like she did a couple things right, where everything was a slow burn. Foreshadowing for later, stuff like that. Like you said, probably show a little more of the friend group, since they're a key, important piece in both their lives.
Again, we have book 5 coming out in November, and then we have book 6, which is still TBD. We don't know exactly when it's coming out. But what do you think is going to happen in the next books?
You know, I had a few theories, and then you kind of threw me for a loop when you told me about the little novella about them being in uni. Mm-hmm. Because, honestly, what I thought was going to happen was what happens with all teenage relationships. Well, not all, but the majority of them. Mm-hmm. Where they grow a little bit older, their lives take them in two different ways, and then they go their separate ways. Because obviously Nick is probably, what, 2 years older? 1 or 2 years older?
1.5 years.
So he's going to go to college first, or uni first, leave Charlie behind while he finishes up his school. So I thought they were going to go their separate ways there. And then she was going to do, like, book 6 was going to be like a big time skip. Mm. Like a large one where they're like older at a point in their lives where they're like, okay, well, maybe it is time to like get back together and stuff like that, you know, because they're only 16.
Yeah.
16, 17. And I know some people marry their high school sweethearts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I'm a big proponent of like also getting out there, mm-hmm. meeting a lot of people, try to see what you like and dislike. So here's what I thought was going to happen. Go through a couple more things with Charlie's eating disorder, mm-hmm. and whatnot. Maybe break up because it's going to be too much for Charlie at one point. Mm-hmm. But then get back together and then decide, well, we should go our separate ways because you're going off to uni on a rugby scholarship, you know?
yeah.
And I still have 1 or 2 more years before I graduate. So the long distance is just going to be so hard. And then book 6 was going to be a giant time skip where they come back and the cutest little scene where they see each other after so many years apart. Mm. And then all those feelings flood back into their bodies, and then they get back to them. All up in a nice little bow.
Okay.
But now you threw that monkey wrench in there with them still dating in college. Yeah. You know? Unless she decides to make it non-canon.
Pretty sure their end game, throwing in a breakup would add a little spice to it.
Definitely.
It would make sense because they're like overwhelmed.
Young. They're young.
Yeah, they're young. They're overwhelmed. He's going away for college.
Yeah.
Okay, so some of my predictions.
Okay.
Again, we have the Nick and Charlie book. So coming to terms with long distance at uni. I think the book 6 will stop right before he goes to uni. I don't think it'll go into uni life. I think it'll stop right at high school.
Yeah.
I believe within that premise then. I think Harry is going to come into play at some point. Especially when they were in the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah.
And they were making fun of Nick and Charlie. And Harry's like, hey, stop it. And then he come to apologize too. So I don't know how. But I think maybe he's going to stop some like aggressive bullying. Because another prediction I have is that something's going to happen where obviously they're out now. Mm-hmm. And Nick's going to get bullied.
Yeah.
Something bad's going to happen. And Harry, I think, is going to stop it. Or he's going to do something.
Yeah.
My last one, remember James? We're coming back to him.
Okay,
he's coming back. Here's my thing. Uh-huh. I feel like James is going to try to go after Charlie and make Nick jealous. Something's going to happen where James is going to try to get close to Charlie and Nick's going to get jealous and be like, no, he's mine.
Right.
Something's going to happen with James. He's got to come back. Yeah.
He's got to.
Well, those are my predictions.
Yeah. I mean, if she's being overwhelmed by this whole thing, like, you know it has to be something, like, tragic.
Big, yeah. I'm excited. Unfortunately, it is time for us to go.
True. Even though we could probably talk about it for another 3 hours.
Probably. In this hour and a half that we're talking about this series, it doesn't even scrape the surface. You have to read it for yourself. Don't just watch the show. Read the books. Like, they're so good. And they have pictures.
Can I just say one little tidbit? Mm-hmm. I know we don't, like, talk too much about the show. But the parallels between Nick and Kit Connor in real life.
Oh, I know.
Charlie not wanting him to be outed and stuff like that. And that's exactly what happened to Kit Connor in real life.
Yeah. He's like, apparently you guys didn't watch the show.
Right.
When he tweeted that.
Exactly.
I was like, stop.
I was like, no. No one outed him, but he just was forced to come out. That's so sad.
It is really so sad. It makes me want to cry right now. Right. So. Okay. Before we go, we do one last thing. We do our rating scale, but we do a little bit different here on the Bookstop. We make up our own thing. So I would give Heartstopper, volumes 1-4 by Alice Oseman, 5 regifting used sweaters to its previous owners after it stops smelling like them, out of 5. 5 out of 5, yeah. 100%. I've been giving a lot of those away this year, but I absolutely just adore this series. Like, it makes you laugh, it makes you teary-eyed, it makes you think on things, and yes, there's teenagers going through these things, but it's also real life stuff.
Yeah.
It's just, it's so good.
Me, I'll give it 9 Nellies out of 10. Good girl Nellies out of 10. Love these books. I'm not an avid reader, but once I started reading them, I just plowed right through the books. Mm-hmm. You know, I finished the first book in like maybe half an hour, probably. That's how fast I was reading them. As they went through, there was a few gripes, you know, about my tropes. Tropes can be good, but sometimes they're just annoying. But it's okay. Needs a little bit more James. And a lead. Definitely needs more lead.
Yeah, absolutely.
But no, I absolutely adore this series.
Thank you for coming on during Pride Month and finishing out this beautiful month with a beautiful series. Mm-hmm. We don't have anything scheduled right now for Lucy. But yeah, if you guys want to see Lucy on again, interact with this episode, like, share, all that good stuff.
Thank you so much to the Patreon subscribers. Keep subscribing. And if you're not subscribed, subscribe. Bye!
Thank you for turning the pages with us today. If you've enjoyed this episode, show your support by leaving a review, sharing the episode, and following the podcast on Instagram at The Bookstop Podcast. Join us on Patreon for early access to episodes and other additional content. Thank you for listening, and I'm looking forward to the next one. Hope you are too.